The Sunday Baroque podcast is made possible by WSHU and the Friends of Sunday Baroque. You can find out more about the Friends of Sunday Baroque and find out how to become one yourself by visiting our website, sundaybaroque.org, under the Contact tab.
Julien Chauvin is a violinist who specializes in Baroque music and has studied with some of the world's prominent early music experts. And in 2003, he was a prize winner at the International Early Music Competition in Bruges. He's also played in many of the leading European Baroque ensembles and has founded several period instrument ensembles too. Julien Chauvin joins me via Skype to speak about his passion for Baroque music and his 2020 recording of concertos by Antonio Vivaldi as part of the Vivaldi edition. Well, thank you very much for speaking with me. Welcome.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
So first things first, though, we're speaking at a pretty unusual time in human history during a global pandemic. And so I just want to check in and see, how are you doing? Are you okay?
Well, I had some time to be sure that I was okay, indeed. And these 3 months were quite long for us. Of course, we had to stay home to think a lot, actually, to practice some, but actually not so much. And you know, when you practice an instrument, to practice alone as not so much sense. And I what I miss is the contact with other musicians, of course with the audience, but to play with others. And the problem is the next month will also be a little empty. So of course we are just praying and making things happen sooner than that we want.
Yeah. It's very concerning to think about, too, what concert going will be like in the future.
Yes, well, I my state of mind was quite different because at some point we thought that we wouldn't play until January next year. And then at some point we thought we could play this summer. And then it's changing actually all the time. And now I'm starting to be more positive. And I think the crisis actually here in France is almost done, almost finished. So people should recover. And what people should understand is that they should really go back to the theaters, go back to the places where they can meet others and they can listen to concert or theater or dance. And the videos, now it should be finished, you know, they have to get a new link with the musicians and the artists. So I'm really looking forward to this.
Well, yes, I agree. So tell me about your start, personally, your start in music. When did you start music lessons as a child? When did you know that music was your life's work? Did you actually start on the violin?
Well, actually, it was a little bit before this. I had the great luck that my mother, when she was pregnant, she learned for me the piano. and actually the belly is the best position to listen to the piano. So actually I think she really gave me something before I was born. Not a gift, but just the joy of music and the sense. And very quickly, even if they were my parents were not professional musicians, They gave me the taste. And I started with the cello when I was 4. And I thought maybe the teacher was not good enough. So I stopped. And then I started the piano, which is my basic, of course. And it should be the basic. Actually, it's a very good bass. And then I started quite late the violin when I was 9. And it was a big crush with a French violinist, which I saw playing in festivals in the summer, and my dream was just to learn with this person, and which I managed to do, And he accompanied me, and that's why I went on.
Wow. So you were just a little kid when you really sort of latched onto music as your thing, as your career?
Yes, definitely. Wow. I'm the last children of three, you know, and of course I think I prefer to be with aged people. I mean, more older than me, and so I went a lot to concerts when I was really young, to Barenboim when he was in Paris, and to so many, and it probably helped me to make my tests a little more open.
So I guess this explains too that if you were that certain that young, I mean, you have founded several musical ensembles, and that's certainly extraordinary for any musician. So I would specifically like to hear about Le Concert de la Loge,
yes,
which you established in 2015. Is that correct?
Yes.
So absolutely. What's the focus? What's the mission of this group, of all the many groups?
I formed it in five years ago with musicians with whom I played for 15 years, actually, for very long. And my idea was to use the history of music and some basic of the French music history, and to make links and bridges between the history and the history of music and the patrimoine, so the places, and especially in Paris, because Paris at the end of the 18th century was a big center of the editing, of the editing the music, you know, the writing. And I wanted to bring to life some music which was quite unknown from French composers of the classical period around Joseph Haydn life. And that was a big starting point for me to use this aspect of the musical life in Paris. And you know, in history, you have these giants, and these giants like Mozart, Beethoven, Haydn, they hide so many others, gifted, so many other gifted composer and touching and good composers, and sometimes I think it's a pity to forget about them. So that's why in the cities I recorded recently around this full Paris symphonies from Haydn, I wanted really to bring to light this French like Marie-Alexandre Guénin or Rigel or Gluck or Gretry and so many that no one heard, even us musicians. And it's very important for us, for our heritage. So that was the base. And I took, of course, the name of a very famous orchestra, Le Concert de la Loge Olympique. This was created in 1783 in Paris. And the funny thing is, at this period, they were playing and performing only new music. They didn't have this notion of a repertoire. They were always creating music. The music was always fresh, and that's something that was that interested me a lot. So that's why we made a lot of research about this orchestra that was maybe directed by the French Chevalier de Saint-Georges, you know, the black violinist and very famous. So all this is a great story that we start to bring to life.
Well, that's wonderful. But and yet here you are, though. You have just now recorded not a Frenchman and not an unknown composer. The 63rd Vivaldi edition album. And I understand it's the eighth volume rather of violin concertos in this ongoing Vivaldi edition project. And I also heard that you are the first French violin soloist to participate in the Vivaldi edition. So how did that come about? That's wonderful.
It's just a great luck, actually. And of course, Suzanne Orlando, who is the artistic director of this marvelous edition, I met her actually a long time ago when in 2002 18 years ago, I was recording an opera from Vivaldi, La Verità in Cimento, and with many amazing singers that I was discovering, among them Philippe Jarouski. And so I knew very early about this edition. And the time passed and the years passed. And I think she asked many Italian, of course, to perform this music. I don't know if it's a good or bad idea. They know for sure how to play this music, but French people can also perform Italian music or German music. So I think she made a big step to asking French ensemble and French violinists. And for this, I'm so lucky indeed.
So tell me about the six concertos on this recording. What makes them special? What do you and your colleagues in the ensemble especially love about them?
Well, this volume is a little special because I chose them from a selection that was made, but I had to add some more concerti to finish the volume. And the idea was that Vivaldi, you know, he composed for any kind of music, so for trio, sonatas, for concerti, for opera, for church music. And Vivaldi, he doesn't have a language different for each kind of music, you know. He has his personal ideas for any kind of music. And when I read the music, the concerti, then I understood that he could use the same music, the same movements in operas as well in concerti. And that's a very, very important aspect. It's that music without words, like concerti, no text, no words, the musician has to find words. He has to create atmospheres and to create situations and to make a story of it. And then I could make the parallels because we find some movements in the concerti that are used in the operas. So of course we have some indications of texts that he reused. And the theater, of course, at the beginning of the 18th century, the opera, the theater, the stage, is so important. Is the main genre. And when we perform this concerti, we always were thinking of being on a stage, on an opera stage, and not in a concert hall. You know, the concert hall doesn't really exist at this time. The modern idea. So, of course, we had to have imagination a lot, and to make a text appear out of the music.
Do you have a favorite or a couple of favorites of the concertos on this?
Well, I must say that they are all quite good, but so well made. The C major opening is very impressive, very, very technically demanding. The B minor is so special because it has this battle at the third movement, and the second movement is the very world famous now, Vedrò con mio diletto, the aria that sing all the contratenors. And at the end, the G minor is a little more simple in the facture, but so efficient. So yes, there are some, all is good.
You also play a couple of pretty extraordinary instruments. Would you talk a little bit about your violins, please?
Yes. Well, it was also a great luck because I have a good friend, Italian instrument dealer. You know, he's a collector of Italian instruments. And when I told him about this project, he told me, yes, I could get this violin and this violin or this one. And then at some point he spoke to me about an instrument from Pietro Guarneri, the one of the family who went to Venice. And I actually found out that he went to Venice the year of the composition of the concertos in 1721, and so it's totally in this period, and the instrument was absolutely beautiful. And what was a great joy is to put on this instrument the original setting with gut strings, which means a little less pressure, and which allowed the instrument to sing, and not to be pressed to because you know the pitch goes high and high, you know, during the years. And why? Because we want more projection, we want more sound, more powerful, and actually it destroys a bit of the quality of the sound of the harmonics. And by going down in the pitch and with using gut strings, it was just a big relief for the instrument to sound and to resonate.
So this is then yet a different instrument than the ones that you normally play. Is that what you're saying then?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Ah.
I just got it for the recording. And wow. And I prefer, because when I saw the price of the instrument, I couldn't anyway get insurance more than 1 month.
That was sort of one of my other questions too. I believe you play two instruments, a 1670 and an 1839. Those are sort of your normal instruments that you play. Yes. And I think, you know, musical instrument, of course, there is a level at which, you know, they're all fine instruments, but really they have to be brought to life by the right player. And it's a very personal sort of thing, you know, the kind of relationship and collaboration, if you will, that you have with them. So what about these two instruments that you usually play, even though you're not playing them on the Vivaldi CD?
Yes. Both are Italian. The other that my Italian friend lends me, it's also Italian from 1839. Of course, it's an alchemy between the player and the instrument. And you have to meet at some point. And of course, it happens. I try several other instruments before choosing this one. And with such ancient instruments, actually, you should let them have the power. Mm-hmm. You should not be the one who says how they should sound. You know, it's like the bow. You learn from the bow, but you don't teach your bow. You know, you really have to take what they give. And in this case, for example, for this violin, this Guarneri, on which I recorded the Vivaldi, it has on the high register, on the E string, some totally magic sound that actually you cannot force. You cannot play so loud with it, but you have really to be listening to it and to be so delicate that, of course, I had to change some of my playing, you know, and I had to adapt, and that's also wonderful.
So what did you use for a bow with the Guarneri?
So for the bow, I used a magic bow that I have, which is also a bow from, I'm lucky, it's a bow from the 18th century, uh-huh. And also which has some good vibrations.
Okay, literally and figuratively, I guess. So tell me, I want to just double back a little bit, because I find this as something that is really important to me as well. And you mentioned before that you and your group really seek out and appreciate some of the less well-known Baroque composers. So are there some, I mean, you named a few and you named a few also who are sort of like classical era, but are there Baroque composers or even earlier composers that you've sort of stumbled on that you think these are people we really should know about as listeners, as music lovers? Do you want to make a case for any musicians that you've discovered?
Definitely, in the Baroque area, since 50 years, many has been discovered, for sure. But every day we can discover more. And in the Italian area, someone like Scarlatti or Caldara, these two people composed so much. And of course, when you have a lot of pieces, a lot of oratorios, operas, you can be a little lost. And it's difficult to say to a promoter, I will do this unknown opera of Scarlatti or Caldara. And of course, it's difficult to sell. It's difficult. It's not Nozze di Figaro or Così, you know, or the Giulio Cesare or whatever. So of course, it's difficult for us to convince theaters, promoters. But in all these operas, you have such amazing, unique arias. And what I'm doing now, exactly this afternoon with Philip Jarowski, arias from oratorios from Scarlatti, it's just unbelievable that no one knows about them. And so the work still is very, very great to do.
And with your group, because you mentioned Chevalier de Saint-Georges, do you do any of his violin music?
Yes, we did some of his works, some of his concerti for violin, yeah. Which are very good. Some of his symphony. About his operas, they are almost all lost. But the figure of this man, who was military. Who was a musician and who was a big champion of how do you call it? So escrime, you know, the
fencing.
Fencing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He was also a great fencing master, and these three careers at the same time made this life exceptional. And we are trying actually to do a documentary about him, and also, of course, I played some of his quartets, which are also very good.
So what other projects, just in general, what other things are you thinking about? What other plans do you have for the future? What's the thing that's sort of keeping you up at night here?
well, in the Baroque area, we have in 3 months a great gala, a Vivaldi gala, with four singers, which will tour in Spain and France, and that's a great program. And next year we will. There is a CD coming out of the Haydn Stabat Mater, and it will be the end of our cycle of the French Paris Symphony from Haydn. But then we add this Stabat Mater, which was a bestseller actually. This was with Pergolesi the piece the most copied in Europe at the end of the 18th century, and Pergolesi. Won, of course, he won because it's more public, it's more touching immediately. But this Stabat Mater, this Haydn, we found a quite special version, which is a Parisian version. So we decided to record and to play this piece as the French discovered it. So not like Haydn wrote it in Vienna. Not with the same words, the same music, the same dynamics, and the same order, but how the French people, discovered it and played it, and we made an edition even for it, and so it will be out just next year, and for us that's a big issue, and for the French repertoire we have a great program coming next year. with Véronique Jans and Sandrine Pio, with the two great figures of the feminine figures of the opera at the end of the 18th century. One was for the dramatic side, and one from the more gallant side. And they were rival. The name of the city will be rival. You say rival?
And yes, rival.
Mm-hmm. A rival. So the title of the city will be rival between these two women who were the queens of Paris.
Hmm. Sounds great.
My hope.
Well, I have been speaking with violinist Julien Chauvin via Skype about his recording with his period instrument group, Le Concert de la Loge. It is the 63rd volume in the Vivaldi edition series. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you so much.
Be well. All the best to you.
Thank you.